Our study tonight is out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5, 6, and 7, the responsibilities of subordinates and church leaders during church persecution. As we before noted, persecution can occur overtly, that means in an external way, in the form of physical persecution. It can also occur covertly, afflicting the inner man, where Satan attacks by means of satanic attack on the emotions or the mental and the spiritual realms of a human being. Either way or both, it's imperative that we believers know what God expects of us in our duties in the church in times of such persecution. And 1 Peter chapter 5, 5, 6, and 7 shows us such duties of subordinates and leaders. Let me read the verses and then we'll look at them. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. After speaking to the elders who are also the officers in the church, the leaders of the church, Peter turns to address the others. In verse 5, he says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you," and the King James says, "be subject to one to another." That's actually a mistranslation. "And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Well, since the term elders referred not only to the office, but to older men who typically held the office of elder in the church, Peter began to address the young men, neoteroi, those who were to be subordinate in the church to the older men in offices as elders. So what I'm going to do as I apply this, I'm going to refer to the elders as leaders and the younger men as subordinates to the leaders. And that's roughly very, very close to what they did in the early church. That's what they had. Well, Peter then addressed them as he had the church elders, and the Greek word hamoios, he actually translates similarly or likewise. In 1 Peter 5:5a, directing that they be submissive, hupotagata. And hupotagata happens to be the same verb that is used of wives who are supposed to be submissive to their husbands in 1 Peter 3:1. You'll remember 1 Peter 3:1, it says, "Likewise, your wives be in subjection to your own husbands." It's the same Greek word as used here in verse 5, "submit yourselves unto the elder." It's be in subjection. It's like a military term, as a subordinate officer would be submissive to the commanding officer. And that's what the church is supposed to be, just as wives are supposed to submit to their husbands in the home. So the church members are supposed to submit to those who are in leadership. Now, what's interesting is the Bible never says to the leaders, "make the people submit to you." No. The submission is something that is a willful decision on the part of the subordinate. It's interesting, the Bible never commands the husband, "make your wife submit, make her heal." No, the submission is something that the woman, the wife, does of her own volition. The man is not supposed to demand it or require it. And the church leaders are not supposed to demand it or require it of people. But this is something that God requires of those in subordinate positions. Now, the King James Version then directs, "Yea, all of you be subject to one another." You notice when I was reading that, I said it's a mistranslation. It actually is. Some have used this statement to say that church leaders are supposed to submit to the congregation, just like the congregation is supposed to submit to them in a type of spiritual democracy. So if the congregation, you know, they have more voices than the leaders are supposed to submit to the congregation. In fact, I actually had a man in the church many years ago, he's not in our church now, tell me, you know, the Bible says in that passage that the leaders are supposed to submit to the younger too, so you have to submit to what I'm telling you. And of course, I didn't go along with that. I said, that's a mistranslation. Well, that's what his Bible said. That's what his King James. Unfortunately, the King James is not the inspired text. Inspired text is in the Greek. So you check the Greek, and it's interesting. The Greek New Testament translates the phrase in question as, "all of you clothe yourselves, ekombosasta, with humility, tapinophrosunain, toward one another." Now, Peter here asserted that both the elders and the subordinates should have an attitude of humility toward one another, not that the elders were to submit to the authority of the subordinates. You see, if the elders are supposed to submit to the subordinates at times, there would be no way for the elders or subordinates to know when the elders are supposed to lead and the rest are to follow. See, if the board and I are supposed to at times submit to the congregation, well, when? When do we do? How do we do that? Who's leading? Where do you lead? How do you know when to lead and when to follow? So the Bible doesn't say that. It says that we're supposed to clothe ourselves in humility. The board members and I are supposed to submit to God, but when we relate to the people in the church, we are supposed to be humble about it. We're not supposed to be up there sticking our big chest out and pounding the chest and say, well, this is what I say, this is the law, that's it, boom. Now, sadly, some pastors and leaders do that, but that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to lead by example. But when we relate to people, we're supposed to relate in humility and kindness and gentleness. But the people who are subordinate to these leaders are supposed to submit of their own volition. Now, both if you have a New International Version or if you have an English Standard Version, both of those versions interpret this phrase just as I have shared with you. And that's because it's correct. Unfortunately, the King James didn't translate it properly. But both the New International and the English Standard Version say, "Yea, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another." Now, backing up his call for mutual humility in relating to one another as elders who lead and subordinates who follow, Peter cited Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34, to assert that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Notice 1 Peter 5:5, "For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." That's actually an allusion to, and actually I think a citation in the Septuagint, which would be the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Jesus and Paul's day and so forth, Peter's day. So God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. This is why it's always worthwhile to be humble. We're supposed to be humble in relating to leaders. We're supposed to be humble as leaders relating to the subordinates in the church. Because ultimately, God's the boss. He's up there. God is the leader, and God resists us if we're proud. Whether we're in the leadership role or the fellowship role, he'll resist us. But he gives grace to those of us who are humble, whether we're in the leadership role or whether we're in the fellowship role. Now, therefore, whether a person is a leader or a subordinate in the local church, God wants those in either group to humble themselves, tapainotheta, toward one another under the mighty hand of God, that God might exalt them in due time. Notice verse 6. "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Now this is a very interesting sentence, because that indicates that a person who might be a subordinate, who would really feel that he would make a better leader than a subordinate, is frustrated because the leaders may not be doing their job, or they may not be responsible, or they might be leading in a forceful way rather than with humility. The Lord says, no, you go ahead and humble yourself. You have a humble attitude. I'll exalt you in good due time. I've been around church long enough, and I've been in leadership long enough to know very, very astutely that God runs the church. There are things that go on almost every week that absolutely floor me as to what God is doing. I've had a person came up to me in fellowship hall today and started speaking to me. And what that person actually said, it's way too private or way too sensitive, but what that person actually said basically blew me away, because I'd had a concern about this kind of an issue. I think it was this last week, and this person has no idea of it. But I just sat there stunned, and it was difficult for me to carry on the conversation, because I'm sitting there thinking, whoa, what's going on here? And my head was reeling. And I've heard this type of report from other people in the church. So, I mean, you have that experience. And sometimes the Lord uses me as an instrument in reference to that. Sometimes it's someone else. But I had it today, once again, and I just thought, wow, God is the one who's really running the thing here in the church. He's the leader. So he's the one that we need to look to, and he will exalt us in due time if that's the case. Now, this call carries hope for God's oversight in the events of wrongs done by people in either group. For example, if the leaders err, the subordinates are supposed to submit to and relate humbly to them, looking to God to exalt them in due time. However, if the subordinates are unsubmissive, the leaders are not to lord it over them, as 1 Peter 5:3 says, but humbly to lead, trusting God to reward their oversight efforts and to deal justly with the insubordinate. I've learned as a pastor, and in the past I didn't apply this. And if someone would come at me, I'd get real defensive and come back. And that always, it's like a landmine, it always blows up in your face. So what happens is, in the past when that's happened, the Lord's allowed me to face that again. And sometimes he'll do it week after week until finally I learn, just cool it, Don. You're going to have to learn to leave it with me. So when I leave it with him, then all of a sudden he solves the problem. So I've had to learn this kind of the hard way in the leadership role, that God is very, very capable of handling the subordinate. My job is not to try to handle the subordinate. My job is just to obey the Lord and function the way I'm supposed to in humility. The Lord will take care of the subordinate if they're not paying attention or if they don't want to heed the Lord. God has all sorts of ways to function. He can, you know, he knows how to punch my buttons. He can punch the buttons of anybody else too. So if subordinates are unsubmissive, the leaders are not to lord it over them, but humbly lead, trusting God to reward their oversight efforts and to deal justly with the insubordinate. Now, overseeing leaders and subordinates in the local church are often tempted to struggle with anxiety for the welfare of themselves in dealing with proud, bullying people in the other respective group. If you're a subordinate and the leaders may appear to be insensitive or irresponsible and maybe just walking roughshod over what concerns you, the temptation is to get very anxious about that and wonder, how in the world are we supposed to deal with this? Well, the Bible says, cast your care upon him, that's the Lord, because he cares for that which concerns you if you're a subordinate. It works both ways. Sometimes I've been in leadership situations where, you know, you've got to make a decision that is biblical, but you know if you make the biblical decision, it's going to really rub the fur the wrong way on a number of people. But what do? You have no choice. You have to do what's right. And you go ahead and you have to trust the Lord and just leave it with the Lord. But the Lord concerns you. If you feel that someone else, whether it's the leader who's going to do this or whether it's a subordinate, is going to make trouble for you or make it difficult, if you just sit there instead of, you know, bullying back and so forth, no. Cast your care. Cast that anxiety upon the Lord. He cares for you. And that's a wonderful truth. So knowing this, 1 Peter and 1 Peter 5, 7 told the elders and subordinates alike to react to such a situation by casting their personal anxiety about their welfare and their roles on the Lord. For God cared about that which concerned each individual, whether it was a subordinate or a leader. In other words, problems between overseers and subordinates in the local church are ultimately the concern of God, who oversees the whole body. So subordinates and overseers are to focus clearly and carefully on what God wants them to do and just remain humble about it. Boy, I wish I had applied that many, many years ago. I've had some lessons I've had to learn in regards to that. Gradually, the Lord has taught me, just relax, Don. I'm running the show here. Don't worry about it. You just do what's right. Let me handle it. So the lesson is, church leaders are to oversee. Subordinates are to submit to them. With people in both sets of roles, both leaders and subordinates, humbly relating to the other parties involved in awareness of God's sovereignty over each party in the local church, and with the desire of seeing God reward such upright conduct in the end. So may we all heed 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7 in our respective roles as church subordinates or overseers to enjoy God's reward of exonerating us in the end rather than disciplining us for sin. I had a conversation, I had several interesting conversations today in Fellowship Hall after the service. I had a conversation today in Fellowship Hall with one of the ladies in our church where she works. She has problems both with overseers and subordinates, and it's a tough thing. And she said, you know, I think I'm getting to the point where I realize I've gone to the overseer about it, but it hasn't solved the situation. He's just spread a word around that I'm unhappy. And that's not what I wanted. I wanted him to address it. But she said, you know, I'm learning that I'm not responsible for what other people are supposed to do. I can't make the overseer do what he's supposed to do, and I can't make him do with the subordinates under me what they're supposed to do. All I can do is my best. And just leave it there. In the difficult situation, it's a school situation where children, and she's concerned about how children are going to be affected by this. But I think that was a tremendous lesson for her. God's got to solve this situation. And then I was talking with one of the men of our church today. He's dealing with severe disciplinary issues at work with subordinates. And he's wondering how in the world it's going to turn out. Most of the self-employed businessmen or men who are in oversight positions in our church have told me half of their problems, half of the workplace problems, do not deal with productivity or the economy. It's dealing with personnel problems. Getting people to work the right way, show up on time, you know, just do the basics, just do the decents. And disciplinary problems. And this man was concerned because he's concerned he might have to fire a man. He doesn't want to fire a person into a job market like this, but, you know, you just can't let the person ruin the business. So he's struggling with this whole thing, and he was struggling with it today. But it just reminded me of the fact that here, there was a lady in our church, and here was a man in our church, and both of them spoke to me independent of one another. They don't know about this. But they both mentioned this problem that they have, either with subordinates or with overseers in the workplace. Now, this passage happens to apply with the church, and I'm very grateful to report to you that I'm not aware of any oversight, subordinate problems within our church at this time. I'm not aware of anything, and I'd much rather speak on something like this at a time like this, when we could practice preventative medicine rather than, you know, curative. And it's very easy for me to address this. But it's interesting that people face this all the time. So the key, though, is recognizing that God is in heaven. He's on the throne, and he cares about that which concerns us. I know on our fridge we've had the verse, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, for many years. And that's a wonderful verse, but it's in the context of overseers and subordinates. That's what it really applies to. That's the main application. So I think it's very comforting to recognize that God cares for us, and what we need to do is realize that and just relax and do our thing and let the Lord handle it.